Patel?
Patel, P-A-T-E-L.
Okay. And the other owner?
Matthew Ploss.
Could you spell that last name?
P-L-O-S-S.
Give us just a moment, and then we'll see if we can make a motion, and that way we don't have to call you again this afternoon.
Okay.
You all right? Okay. As to BOE, now this is, you call this Mo 139 Streamside. Is that your LLC?
Correct.
Okay. As to BOE 227, I would make a motion to classify it as mixed use, 25% commercial, 75% residential.
Second.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. All right. You'll get a decision letter from the county. And congratulations, and thank you for taking the call early. Okay?
All right. Thank you so much. And also, can I just get your name again? I'm sorry. I didn't quite catch it.
That's fine. My name is David Akers. I'm just the acting chairman this year of the Taney County Board of Equalization.
Okay. All right. So basically, like you said, you'll just get a letter verifying that this has been
Right. It's a mixed use classification, 25% commercial, 75% residential. Okay.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye bye. Mm-hmm. Okay. That leaves the one you want to call in Valerie Budd, and then we have one other one here, a Jeff Foster out of Kansas City. I could call that real quick. Hello, Mr. Forster?
Yes.
Mr. Forster, my name is David Akers. I'm with the Taney County Board of Equalization. I know it's early. You were on the docket this afternoon. As a matter of fact, our last case. And I didn't know if it would be possible to go ahead and potentially take that up early. Would you have a few minutes?
Sure.
Okay. Jeffrey, can I ask you a couple questions? Is this a nightly rental in which you received a notice that you were going to be classified as commercial?
Yes.
Okay. And do you, is this the only property you have in Taney County?
Yes.
Okay. It's the only nightly rental property that you have in Taney County? Okay. What we've been doing, have you heard about what our decisions have been?
Okay. I'm not, you know, just for clarification, and I hopefully have the all of the exhibits I sent to the board there. I'm not disputing the classification. It's the value I'm disputing.
It's the value on this one? Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. What is the... The value that we show on our sheet is $119,490. Do you have a value in which, I'm sorry, I didn't pull that one up. I thought this was a classification issue. And your opinion of value is $60,000. Okay.
Is this a condo tell or just a condo?
The assessor has a question for you.
Is this one of the Hilton condo tells, or are you renting through Hilton?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear her. Can you
Are you in the rental program through Hilton? Is this what they call a condo tell?
Can you hear?
Yeah.
I think
she's asking if it's a condo. But yeah, it's a condo. It's a hotel down there with Brandon.
Okay.
I didn't have a chance to research this yet, but that's part of a commercial enterprise down there, too. And my problem is I've got to have comps.
That price.
I'd have to see comps or something on those to go lower. We did.
We're trying to go through what you've sent here. Is what you've sent here basically an income approach to valuation? Is that what you're looking at?
Exactly. Yeah, I'd say so. Here's the logic here. Is if this were classified as residential, which I agree, based on Missouri statute, it needs to be classified as commercial. If it were classified as residential, the thing it does are primarily with one way of valuation, and that is comparable sale. But since state law, the assessor has it classified as commercial, it should open up the income approach for valuation. And so my appeal is based on the income from this unit. This unit is an atypical unit because it's in a building. There's a bar down there. I think it's Wax Pioche. Must have changed their name in the past few years.
Okay.
This condo is the one right on top of Wax Pioche. It has a historic theme.
Boy, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I said, boy, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, too, yeah. This time last year, I owned three of those condos, and two of them made money. And then I sold those. I was able to sell them because there was a buyer that was willing to buy it for the income. But this one, since it doesn't make money, I'm stuck with it, and I can't get out of it. And it loses money. So what I said there is part of this appeal is the last four full quarter income statements from the two condos that I sold within the past 12 months, kind of establishing a rate of return or a cap rate of what they sell for. And so all I was asking was that the assessor consider take that average cap rate of those two sales and apply it to this one and come up with a value in using half of the market value and half of it derived from the cap rate, and that puts you about $60,000. When you apply the cap rate, this thing's worth, and I'm not saying it's worth $0. It's just, if it is what it is, it loses money. So, not
okay. No, I appreciate you calling or that what you're saying here. Let me let the assessor have her say on this too.
Okay. So I've not even looked at your appeal yet. I didn't see these numbers. So far, when people have something like this, it doesn't come out. When I do the income and finance, it doesn't come out like you think, because it's based on days available and market rate for your rent. How many days is it available?
It's available 365 days a year.
Yeah. And what's the average market rental rate?
The rental rate?
Yeah. The average rate it goes for per night.
You have the financial statements right there.
Well, like I said, I haven't had a chance. But what I'm going to just tell you in a nutshell, whatever you rent it for is going to be multiplied by 365. And then when we take out your expenses and do the calculations, a lot of the things that you think would come out don't. I mean, I'm happy to do this. I'm supposed to have 3 years of financial data on this. And you have how many years? How many years do you have?
So you're saying that 300, you apply 365 days a year times whatever the rental rate is to come up with the gross income. So, but then what you're saying is you take real world expenses, not real world income, but you take those real world expenses and dump them off that amount.
Right, but people get confused because they think that you can count your mortgage or your mortgage interest or your taxes.
No,
all of that is thrown out the door.
For 30 years now, and I've done about 45. 3,500 transactions, 4,400 of which would be in principal. So, you know, I get how it all works. I'm not trying to write in mortgage principal and mortgage interest. There's no mortgage against this. Everything I own is free and clear. But what I'm saying is, at the end of the day, when you're left with a net income number, it's in the negative on this. It's a busy asset.
So when I figure the financials on these, and like I said, I've not had a chance to look at your numbers or even work with this, you know, we get the number that comes out in our formula, and then we also have our cost approach through our CAMA system, our tax system on for the county, and, you know, usually I give you the benefit of the doubt or we try to stay in between, but we also, you know, all the other units around you, we assess and we have to stay in line with those two, and you're right in the middle.
So what you're saying is you're also applying the cost approach, the replacement value, if you had to build this new today?
Right. I mean, that's our first line here as the assessor. We do everything by the cost approach. When somebody asks us to look at the financial, you know, you need to just get that into us and we'd figure it out, and then you and I would discuss where you're at on that, because sometimes it just doesn't pay off. It comes out a lot more than you expect. And so, but looking just by cost approach, because I can look on the Beacon map, I know you can't, but the judges can, we've got you down from our CAMA system at around 117 a square foot, and there's people around you that, I mean, it ranges from 107 to 137 all around you. It just depends on amenities that came with these. So
I understand the problem here. I mean, it seems common sense to me that this property has got some problems if you're trying to rent it out above a bar. But
yeah.
But what floor is he on?
What floor are you on?
I'm on the second floor. The bar's on the first floor.
Yeah, I mean, he's literally right on top of it.
But when I look at the picture, maybe I've got it wrong, but it puts you, this looks like you're closer to the promenade than it is to the street.
Yeah, I bet you can make a killing if you start renting it to the bands that play down there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we actually used this one, and we stayed in this one just because it wasn't marketable. We didn't want to sacrifice revenue for the other two. And we've seen those band guys come and going.
But if you look at the picture, he's closer to the promenade.
Okay. So you're over the... Are you over the store in front of Waxy's or the... Or over whack directly
the,
over
the back. Okay, so the it's a corner, so it's on the corner. So there's a window that faces the road there at the train track, and then the other window beneath that is kind of the roof of Waxy O'Shea's, but you know the cooking ventilation fans and stuff all right there.
I see what you're saying. So
yeah.
What that's showing and what he's saying are two different places.
Yeah, that's weird.
Okay.
And also, as part of my written exhibits that I submitted, you can see email correspondence that I have with the Hilton, because the Hilton is the one who rents this out, and I've asked the people at the Hilton over and over again every year, why is this thing not producing better revenue? And there's the email conversation that should be part of that package that I sent. Which explains the train tracks, the proximity to the train tracks and my COCA.
Train noise across the street, yeah. Saw that.
Hmm.
Yeah, according to this, he's at the other side of the building.
So
in this case, I would think you'd need to find comps that would be shown.